Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise, because the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods.
I invite you to consider our scripture passages this morning, beginning with Genesis 22, 1 through 14. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham." And he said, "Here am I." He said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering upon one of the mountains on which I shall tell you." So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place on which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the ass. I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you." And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went both of them together. And Isaac said to his father, "Abraham, my father." And he said, "Here am I, my son." He said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "God will provide himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." So they went both of them together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Then Abraham put forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here am I." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide," as it is said to this day, "On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." And in 1 Corinthians 10:13, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your strength, but with the temptation will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it." May we pray together. O God, we need to experience the assurance of your faithful presence in our lives. We pray that you will minister to us individually and as community. Many of us have never faced the challenge of making as great a personal sacrifice as Abraham, and perhaps most of us cannot even conceive of such a demand upon our faith and commitment. Cause us to examine the inner recesses of our being as to our willingness of heart and actions to obey that which you demand of us. And in these moments of worship, may we seek and find a fresh message. Speak anew through these familiar passages and through the meditation of thy servant. Grant that our reflection may not be in vain by the callousness or carelessness of our hearts, but that by it we may be reminded of your grace, lifted to hope, made strong and ready for service, and filled with the knowledge that you will provide all that we need. Amen.
It was to Mount Moriah that God summoned Abraham on that day long ago, described in Genesis 22. After Abraham's encounter with this God of Mount Moriah, he was never the same. So may it be for us as well. "Abraham, yes, Lord, here I am. Take your son. Go to the land of Moriah and sacrifice him there as an olah, a whole burnt offering to God." What an order. Take, go, sacrifice. Staccato imperatives, cold, hard demands, qualified only by adjectives that emphasize just how horrifying it must have seemed. Take your boy, your only boy, Isaac, the boy you love, and sacrifice him. "Isaac, Lord, the son Sarah and I have waited for so long. Yitzhak, Lord, whose very name means laughter, happiness, giggles. Take Isaac, Lord, your gift to us, the son through whom all the descendants of Israel are to come. Take Isaac, Lord, our sole hope for the future." "Oh no, Lord, not again," Abraham may well have thought. Years before at Haran, God had issued very similar commandments to Abraham. On that occasion, God had said, go from your country and from your land and from your kindred, from your father's house to a land that I will show you, and I will bless you. On that occasion, Abraham had been ordered to leave his home in Mesopotamia, to turn his back on his past, to sacrifice mother and father, brother and sister. On that occasion, at least, God had promised blessing in return. Now, Abraham is being ordered to turn his back on his future, to sacrifice his only son, and for what? There are no promises recorded this time. Just take, go, sacrifice. What an order. Now, to be certain, we readers of the story have already been tipped off that this is all part of a great test. After these things, God tested Abraham, the text says in verse 1. And so we may breathe a little easier because we know that in the end, God will be in complete control. But we must remember that Abraham was not privy to this inside information. Abraham knows only what he has heard. Take, go, sacrifice. The command is horrifyingly clear. The reasons why, just as horrifyingly unclear. Take, go, sacrifice. So, early the next morning, Abraham saddled his ass and set off on a journey to encounter God. He took along with him his two servants and his boy Isaac and nothing else except for the wood that was to be the fire for the sacrifice. For 3 days, all that was heard was the beating of their feet towards the path on the way towards the mountain. Finally, the mountain came into view. Abraham ordered his servants to stay behind with the donkeys. This part of the journey was only for Abraham and Isaac. Abraham took the wood and he laid it on Isaac. The knife and the matches he carried himself like a careful father trying to protect his son from any possible harm or injury. The two of them set off now for the mountain in silence. Father leading the way, son tagging along behind, confident in the sure trust of being with Daddy. Finally, the silence is broken by Isaac's curiosity. Daddy?
Yes, son.
Here is the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the sacrifice? In the eyes of the young lad, unassuming and innocent eyes, something was missing. God will provide, Abraham said. God will see to it. Well, this was enough for Isaac. Daddies know everything. And so they went on, the two of them, together. Finally, they arrived at the top. What follows is described very slowly, with more than enough time for all the painful details. Abraham built an altar. He laid the wood in order, bound his son Isaac, laid him on the wood, took the knife, stretched forth his hand, and with blade flashing in the gleaming sun, about to descend with a fatal blow on his beloved boy, a call comes from the beyond. Abraham?
Yes, Lord.
Do not do it. Now I know that you love me, for I have asked you to give up what you treasure most in life, and you did not withhold him from me. The test was over. At the last minute, it had all been taken out of Abraham's hand. When Abraham began to recollect his wits, he saw in the bushes a lamb to take the place of Isaac. God had provided. So Abraham called the place Moriah. That is, God has seen to it, or God has provided. You know, of course, that the naming of a place was very important for the ancients, for the name described what was most important about the place, Moriah. From the time of Abraham, this would be remembered as the place where God had ordered a test of faith and had seen to it that the test could be passed. Moriah, the place where God has tested and provided. Years later, the book of 2 Chronicles reports that Solomon called the mountain upon which the temple was built in Jerusalem Mount Moriah. And from that day till this, the temple in Jerusalem has been the central place for all Israel to encounter the God of Mount Moriah. Today, in the old city of Jerusalem, the Dome of the Rock stands on the traditional site of Mount Moriah, casting its golden shadows over the city, reminding all who come to worship in this place that they come to encounter a God who both tests and provides. This morning, the encounter with the God of Mount Moriah extends from Jerusalem to Wake Forest. My sisters and my brothers, are we prepared to encounter this day, in this place, in this community, the God of Mount Moriah? Are we prepared to encounter the God who is completely sovereign, who is absolute, total in demands for unqualified obedience? Are we prepared to encounter the God who demands of us everything, even our most prized possessions, even our most treasured loves? Are we prepared to encounter the God who would test all those who profess faith to see if the words of their loyalty are matched by acts of obedience? Are we prepared to encounter this God of Mount Moriah who calls us to turn our backs on our past, to give up our ambitions for the future, to live wholly and fully and obediently in the present, no matter how dark and cold and hard it may be? Avraham, take, go, sacrifice. In an act of radical faith, Abraham set off to meet this God. His only response, God will provide. Abraham found out that day long ago on Mount Moriah that God is far more than he ever imagined. The God who demanded that he go accompanied him on the way. The God who had decreed unmitigated demands for total obedience was the God of grace who provided the means for that obedience. The God who demanded all was at the same time the God who provided all. The God who tested faith is the God who saw to it that faith was sufficient to meet every test. Are we prepared to encounter this God of Mount Moriah, this God of dark demands and high promises? It will take a radical act of faith to live in the presence of such demands and such promises, and to say in the midst of it all, God will provide. Some of us, I fear, some of us will be tempted to want only half of it. Some of us will want the God who promises and provides but does not demand or test. We will want a God who gives but does not take, who blesses but does not judge. And we will want a religion that makes us feel good about ourselves, that makes us feel secure and protected and warm inside. We want a religion that promises us God's love without reminding us of all the unloving things we do. Some of us, I fear, will seek church fields, places of ministry, perhaps even seminaries that will be a sanctuary for us, quite literally a place of refuge for us, where it is easier to hide out from God than to encounter this God. Some of us, I fear, have grown lazy and complacent about things like justice and inequity, right and wrong, good and evil, love and hate. And we would just as soon that the God whose love we proclaim so loudly be lazy and complacent about these things too. Some of us, on the other hand, will want a God who demands, a God who tests for loyalty and who judges without equivocation all those found wanting. We don't want this so much for ourselves, you understand, but for those other sinners who in our judgment have already failed the test and now deserve God's judgment. Some of us will want a God who has no compassion, no forgiveness. Some of us will want a God who seeks revenge, who tests and punishes. For that's the way that we are. When we are struck or injured, we strike back. We want revenge, and we want a God who will back us up. Some of us will want only half of it, I fear. Either the God who provides and promises and gives and blesses, or the God who tests and judges and punishes. It will take a radical act of faith to encounter the God of Mount Moriah who does both. It was years later when Jesus encountered the God of Mount Moriah. The setting for him was different. This time it was on a skull hill named Golgotha, but the test was the same. The crucifixion was the ultimate test. There Jesus was confronted with a God who demands everything. In the agony of that cross, Jesus looked back on a past that must have seemed to him failed and lost, towards a future that must have seemed to promise little more than death. There, too, Jesus had to demonstrate a radical faith in the God who both demands and promises. Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. 3 days later, the God who always provides created life out of death. Are we prepared to encounter this God of Mount Moriah? This God who will demand of us everything, even our most prized possession. This God who at the very same time promises to provide for us everything. My sense is that we here in this community feel ourselves summoned to just such an encounter. Take, go, sacrifice. The summons is indeed hard and demanding. As with Abraham, we are summoned to a radical breaking off and departure. We are summoned to a new history, summoned to leave where we are for a destiny that only God knows, summoned to leave the presumed security of the present for the sake of a very risky future. We are summoned, in fact, to become someone we have not yet been. The journey promises to be painful. The cost to us will be great, very great, and I believe it will take a radical act of faith on our parts to follow our own paths to Moriah. As we consider this summons to Moriah, let us remember that the God whom we will meet there is the God about whom Paul has written. God is faithful. God will not allow you to be tested beyond your strength. When the test comes, God will provide a way out so that you will be able to endure it. Amen. So it is, and so may it be for us. Go in peace, and the love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. Amen.